Let's see, I think it's up here. Well, so my, I've mentioned this to a couple of people, but my my dad and my sister both were math majors in school. Like they majored in math in college. And my sister actually went on to, she loves math so much that she went on to get a graduate degree in math. And now she teaches math in a college. So she worked really hard in her math classes because she loved math so much. I did not inherit those abilities, though. Like my sister, I worked really hard in my math classes. But the reason I did it was a very, very different reason. The reason I worked hard in my math classes in school was so because I was afraid of getting bad grades. Both me and my sister worked hard, but I did it out of fear, and she did it out of love for the subject. So most of us have had this experience, right, of being motivated by fear or by love, or maybe some of both. And we've had that experience maybe in school or other parts of our lives. Some of us may have applied for a new job because we did it out of love. We're excited about what we could do in the new job. We're excited about our career. We're motivated out of love for our family and we applied for a job. Some of us may have also applied for a new job out of fear because we were afraid of what would happen if we didn't get a new job and we desperately needed one. Some of us might have worked hard to please one of our parents out of fear. Maybe we were afraid of our parents, afraid of disappointing them. But others of us may have worked hard to do something special for a parent because we wanted to surprise them and show them how much we love them. Both fear and love are powerful motivators. And this is true in our Christian lives as well. Sometimes we do things for God because we see God like a demanding boss or a disappointed parent. And seeing God as this, like, demanding boss or demanding parent can motivate us to do a lot of things, right? It can motivate us to volunteer at church. It can motivate us to read the Bible or pray or even share our faith. And we might feel a sense of shame and guilt if we don't do those things. Many of us live with a sense that God doesn't like us very much, or that God is a sort of disappointed father rather than our good Heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 4, it says this, we love because he first loved us. He's referring to God. But the other side of that truth is that it's actually hard to love God when we don't understand that we are truly loved by God. So what I want to talk about today is what the message of Jesus really is. I want to talk about the gospel. That word gospel just means good news, and I want to talk about how the gospel really is good news for us and for the world. So that passage that Victoria and Pastor Brent just read for us, that says this again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. These verses are probably really familiar to a lot of you. And I just want to point out a couple of details about the verses. These two verses are from a passage in the Gospel of John. And it's from this story that happens that starts at the very beginning of John chapter 3. And it starts like this. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night. So what happens is that there's these two people in this story, Nicodemus and Jesus, and they meet at night, and then they have this one-on-one discussion. And basically Jesus kind of explains that he's the way to God, he explains his mission to Nicodemus, and eventually we get to John 3:16 and 17. And these two verses, John 3:16 and 17, it might be Jesus speaking, and it might be John kind of explaining what Jesus is speaking. We aren't quite sure because Greek in the Bible doesn't have quotation marks. Either way, it's the same message. It says that God loved the world. God's love is what sent Jesus. And the problem is, if we're honest, is that sometimes we understand the Christian message as saying something like, God doesn't like you. And because God didn't like you, Jesus came to save us from a God who doesn't like us. And we live with that sense. Sometimes that's how we almost interpret this message, without saying it out loud. But the verse actually says that God's love for us is what sent Jesus. God's love is what transforms us. I stopped taking math classes as soon as I could in high school. And then I stopped taking them as soon as I could in college, as soon as I had done what I had to do to do my degrees and get through high school. And so fear motivated me to work really hard at math in school, but it didn't actually get me very far. It didn't motivate me to do anything more than the minimum. My sister's love of math took her much further. So the motivation that comes from fear is powerful, but it's not nearly as powerful as the motivation that comes from love. Fear is not what transforms us. God's love is what transforms us and motivates us to serve God. Let me show you guys a picture of somebody. This is a guy named Christian Picciolini. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's okay, you don't have to turn those off. Thank you. This is a guy named Christian Picciolini. And so in this picture, he's in his 40s. Right now, he runs this global organization called Free Radicals. And what they do is they have counselors that help people lead extremist groups. And mostly, they help people lead racist extremist groups. And he started this organization because he actually used to be part of an extremist group whenever he was in high school, whenever he was a teenager. And the thing that helped him go through this profound transformation was somebody in his school, in his high school. So there was this guy named Johnny Holmes, who was the security guard in his high school. And the security guard, Johnny Holmes, could see how this guy was hurt and angry and lonely. And that's kind of what led him to be part of this racist extremist group. And this Johnny Holmes could see through the hatred, and he decided that his goal was to show love and compassion to Picciolini, to this guy. So this is what he says about this. This is kind of, I read this conversation interview between the two of them, and this is what Johnny Holmes, the security guy, said. My philosophy was to be the parent away from home. You were a 16-year-old kid. I knew that you had been brainwashed. So he tried to be the parent that this guy didn't have. And his love transformed this racist, hateful teenager. And now, Picciolini helps transform other people who are part of these extremist groups. So if love from this security guard can transform this teenager, how much more does God's love transform us? How much more can God's love transform us? If he could see, if the security guard could see how this guy was hurting and lonely and needed love, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to heal us and transform us? God's love is what sent Jesus. The other thing that I want to point out in John 3:16-17 is that word world. In Greek, the word world is the same word that we kind of get our word cosmos from. It just says cosmos. It's the same word for cosmos that we have in English. And it means the sum total of everything, or the universe, or humanity, or creation. God loves the world. God loves creation. God the Father sent Jesus because God loves the world that God created. In Colossians chapter 1, it says this: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This passage is about Jesus, and it says everything was created by Jesus, and everything was created for Jesus, And everything in creation holds together because of Jesus. And then it goes on to say this. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So not only was everything created by Jesus and for Jesus, but it's also saying that Jesus died to reconcile and redeem creation. Jesus died to redeem us, Jesus died for our sins, and Jesus also died to redeem and heal creation. Jesus didn't come to rescue us from the world, Jesus came to redeem the world. God loves us, and God loves the world. If you read the news, it won't take you very long to find lots of ways that the world is messed up, right? Like 5 minutes if that tops. You find lots of ways that the world needs healing and redemption. And honestly, we probably don't need to even read the news to know that the world needs healing and redemption and that the world is messed up. The good news, the gospel, is that God's mission is about redeeming and healing creation. God doesn't just save us. God doesn't save us from the world. God saves us for the world. So that means that sharing our faith is about our words, and it's about our actions. So part of sharing our faith, whenever we work toward the healing and redemption of the world, whenever we serve people in need, and whenever we work toward justice, and whenever we're truthful rather than dishonest, and when we forgive, and when we love rather than hate, and it's all part of sharing our faith. And when we work to build trust with people who've been hurt by Christians and hurt by the church, and when we pray for our enemies, and when we use our words to share the good news of Jesus, it's all part of sharing our faith. All of that is joining in God's mission to heal and redeem the world. God loves us, and God loves the world. So my prayer is that love would motivate us to share that message through our words and through our lives. So I recently came across this book that I think shares the message that God loves us and God loves the world in a really creative way. It's a children's book, and I pay attention to these things because I have a child now. And the reason that I want to share this with you is that it's really easy for me to stand up here and say something simple that we hear all the time in church, that God loves you, right? But it's one thing for us to believe that, to really believe that in our heads and in our hearts. So this may be full disclosure, this may be me being a sentimental dad, but I want to use this book to kind of share the gospel with you. All right? And I wish I could show you the pictures and we could do like library story time sort of thing, but that's not possible because the pictures are good. But I'll just have to read the words. All right, so here we go. Remember, it's a children's book. You, when God made you. God made you all shiny and new. An incredible you. A you all your own. A you unlike anyone else had ever known. An exclusive design. One God refined. You're perfectly crafted, one of a kind. Because when God made you, somehow God knew that the world needed someone exactly like you. You, God thinks about you. God was thinking of you long before your debut. From the very beginning, amid history and time, you, little one, never left God's mind. God imagined your eyes, your head's shape and size, and knew what you'd look like when you felt surprised. God pictured your nose and all 10 of your toes. The sound of your voice, God had it composed. The lines on your hand, your hair, every strand, God knew every detail like it was all planned. Out of billions of faces, from cultures, all races, people God made from all different places. God knew your name. Your picture is framed. God's family without you would not be the same. Because when God made you, this much is true. The world got to meet who God already knew. You, when God sees you, God delights in what is and sees only what's true. That you, yes, you, In all of your glory, bring color and rhythm and rhyme to God's story. So be you, fully you, a show-stopping review. Live your life in full color, every tint, every hue. Discover, explore, have faith, but love more. And learn and relearn all that God made you for. Use your talents and passions, those gifts that God fashioned. Think of ideas and then put them to action. God smiles and hears why in the spark of your eye. A familiar reflection shines bright from inside. Because when God made you and the world awed and awed, in heaven they called you an image of God. You being you is God's dream coming true. Because when God made you, all of heaven was beaming over you. God was smiling and already dreaming. We're created in the image of God. And you, being you, is God's dream. Because God loves you and God created you. And in a similar way, God created the world and said it was good and had a good purpose for creation. But when humanity sins, creation was subjected to futility and to death. And we sin. And we turn away from God. And we don't live in the truth of God's love for us. And we're subjected to futility and death. But this is the good news. God is light. And God's in his love. He can't bear to see creation subjected to futility and death. God can't bear to see you subjected to futility and death. So God became human. John chapter 4 tells this story of a woman, and it says she's been married 5 times and is in a relationship living with someone who she's not married to. And often we read this story like it's this woman's fault, which it may have been. It also, women didn't have a lot of rights back then. It also may have been that she would be taken advantage of over and over again. But she's going from relationship to relationship to relationship, and she wasn't being given the love that she needed. So one day, she goes to this well to get water. Everybody had to get water every day. But she went in the middle of the day when nobody else would go. She was trying to avoid people. She probably felt a sense of shame for whatever reason. And Jesus comes and sits beside her and says, "I'm the water of life. I will love you." And in Luke 19, it tells the story of this man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had cheated and betrayed his own people for his career and for money. And he was ostracized and cut off from people and from community. He was an outcast. So one day, Zacchaeus climbs up this tree so they could watch Jesus as Jesus came through town. But Jesus stops as he's coming through town and looks up at him and says, "Come down from the tree. I want to have a meal with you. I will love you." And the Gospels tell story after story after story of God's love transforming and healing people. And at the end of the Gospels, when people in fear and cowardice and envy and jealousy take Jesus and betray him and spit on him and beat him and crucify him, Jesus says, "I forgive you. I will love you." And when humanity experiences the final separation from God and we die, God says, "Love is stronger than death." And God in Christ does. So now, there's no place where God isn't present. In God's loving pursuit of humanity, there's no place where God isn't willing to go, even into death. There's no place that we can escape from the love of God. There's no place where we can hide from God's love for us, even death. But Jesus also says, "I am the resurrection and the life," and he rose to life again, and he conquers death, and he conquers sin. So this is the good news, that even when we turn away from God and sin, even when others sin against us, and even when the brokenness in the world hurts us, and even when we die, there's no place that God's love can't reach us. God's love is stronger than sin. God's love is stronger than the brokenness in the world. And God's love is stronger even than death. This is the gospel. This is the message and the good news that we're invited to share through our actions and through our lives and with our words. God loves us and God loves the world. Would you pray with me? Yeah, so, Lord, I pray that this really simple truth of your love for us and for the world would go into our hearts and motivate our actions and our words. But it's so easy for us to say God loves you. And it's another thing for that to motivate us as we join your mission for redemption and healing in the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us understand that in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name.